All right, let's start from the book of Galatians chapter 5 once again. That's what we have been reading. The book of Galatians chapter 5. Today I want to emphasize on the rendering from my version of the Bible, the one I use most frequently, which is the New American Standard Bible. And it goes like this. I'll start from verse 16, which we always start from. Well, let's just start from verse 13 this time. He said, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Please, let me start that again. You were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. It says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, which is in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." That is, you are going to end up destroying everything while trying to destroy somebody else. That is, you would destroy yourself also. And that says, verse 16, instead of doing the above, what you should do is this. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Because we have read this many times before, I will now hasten up my speed. Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit," which is the same thing as walking by the Spirit in verse 16, "you are not under the law." Then he enumerated the deeds, plural, S. All right? The deeds of the flesh, which he said are immorality, impurity, all right, idolatry, outburst of anger, all of that. He now said, "For which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit, one, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things," he says, "there is no law." He said, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires." Now, because of time, I'll just refer to the one we read earlier. Don't bother opening to it. Verse chapter 6, the same book of Galatians. I'll read from verse 6. I'll just read it. "The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." That's verse 7. "For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Do not lose heart in doing good. For in due time you will reap if you do not grow weary." He says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." Now, we've read this again and again, and we've also read some other portions, all right? All right, when we're talking about the commandments that God gave the nation of Israel concerning their kings. Now, what I've been trying to explain, let me just, the last two sessions, I'll try teaching this, then I'll suddenly go in another direction. And I realize that those other directions I go in is part of the education of the people of God. So that's why I relax sometimes, not as if I'm not disciplined enough to stop it. But I realize that people also have to be blessed, all right? And since we keep coming back to learn, you understand? We'll continue what I wanted to say next time. Now, today, I believe very strongly that I'll be able to focus on what I've been trying to say. Now, we have said this again and again. I will not go over that one in details again. That when Balaam wanted to place a curse on the people of Israel, Balaam said to Balak simply, "It does not work." That's the summary of it. That is, once you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, we are under the shadow of the Almighty. And that shadow of the Almighty simply means that you are under the influence, the protection of the Almighty. And like I say all the time, this is how spiritual things are. God tells us, he allows us, or he gives us instructions in what to do in an area. And when you do that, you see results in other areas, even though you did not deliberately follow after that. Are you getting my point? So he says something like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now you are seeking the kingdom of God, you are seeking his righteousness, but other things are added to you. Are you getting my point? And that's the power of grace. Grace is that you do some little things and God does the great thing, all right, on your behalf. That's just how grace is. So when it comes to walking in the Spirit also, all right, what God is saying, that there are little things we will do, all right, and then great things will work in our life. Now, before I even go into detail about that, I was trying to explain something. So when we talk about he that dwells in the secret of the Most High, we said that dwelling in the secret place of the Most High is something you and I can do. We can put in that effort to see that we are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. But abiding under the shadow of the Almighty is a consequence. That is, God says to me, walk in this particular manner, walk in the Spirit. While I'm doing that, he's taking care of every other thing in my life. He's taking care of my promotion. He's taking care of my protection. He's taking care of my provisions. He's taking care of everything that I may personally want in life, even though I am not going after those things. I say it again, even though I may not be a very popular preacher for saying these things, but it's actually the truth. It is not Christianity. When we flock all the time, all our prayer points is about what we need, what we want, what the future will hold. I want a husband. I want children. I want money. I want this one. I want that one. And we pray about it all the time. It's actually a waste of time. I'm giving you the word of God today that the people, Christians who get those things, usually are not focused on them. I say this one to you again, and I will keep on saying it until everybody believes it, even if everybody doesn't believe it. That's why you cannot, all right, get up and take money. Say, I want this thing. Let me give money so as to get it. I made a statement earlier. When you are working in a particular manner, the results it produces for you usually is not what you are actually consciously looking for. That's Christianity. It is sorcery, a kind of sorcery, actually. All right? It is sound funny if I say this. All right? You'll be surprised. It's a form of witchcraft when we try to manipulate things like that. You know, I want more money. I bring out some money and drop. It's witchcraft. It's not Christianity. That's what I said, you know, I told them once I was somewhere preaching and attending a program. People were talking about how to manipulate your husband. It was a couple's meeting. And they thought they were practicing Christianity. You will go by his pillow and speak to his pillow. This is witchcraft. You take a mantle and strike his photograph. What are you? And we actually think it's Christianity. Listen, it's not everything that's spiritual that's Christianity. There are many things people practice. It's a spiritual thing. I told you once, I think my wife shared a testimony here about something that a woman told her. And let me put a long, make a long story short. How she, let me put the example, just put it like this, all right? How she entered into the Spirit and got one man to do something, pay her what he was owing. Now, when she was telling the story, before she got to that particular point, I was on edge. That is, no matter how fantastic the story looks, it does not make it Christianity until it showed me the role that God plays in it. Then I got to the point which said that the woman said she woke up at night and said, God, I need to talk to you. And put a chair there, figuratively, you know, literally she put a chair there and said, Lord, please sit here. Then she now said to the other man, you stand here. The man wasn't there, she was just praying alone. And said, Lord, avenge me of this my adversary. And that's what she did. Now, when my wife said to me that, the woman said to her that that's what she does, I relaxed. You know why I relaxed? Because many people get up. There was a day I was talking with one sister. She was talking about somebody who was disturbing her soul. And she now reported that fellow to another, a good Christian. Now, listen, the person she reported to was supposed to be a good Christian. Another lady, maybe a little older than her. And said, look at this woman or this guy or somebody is disturbing me. And then that fellow said, don't worry, I'll handle it. That I know, now listen to, let me tell you about this woman. If you see her, I saw her once, all right? She's the example of deeper life Christianity. Now that's not to be an insult, it's supposed to be a commendation. You understand my point? Uh-huh. That if you see her, she looks very holy and spiritual. Maybe carried a Bible or a chaplet. I think it was a Catholic or something, I can't remember. All right? Yes, I think something like that. And then she now said to me that, the lady said to her that there's a way I will tackle, as if there's a spiritual journey or something I will take, and I will warn him. I said to her, that girl is an occultist. Forget the fact that she carrying a Bible, a chaplet, and she goes around looking very, very holy. She's a literal witch. You know, I don't believe in all the witches are flying up and down, but that one is one. I don't want to give you details. One just is telling me, I said, that one is a witch. That one is an occultist. Forget this holiness she's looking like. This one is a pure occultist. It is not everything that's spiritual, that's Christianity. And this is the sad side of it. A lot of times we carry this into church. People come and start telling you how to manipulate God. And I'm looking at them like, you call this Christianity? Listen, I watch TV, I've been around. You see them, in fact, I've told you all those posters you see everywhere. Auntie waiting, I do you. That's a picture. It's a banner. Have you seen it? And gather people to come. Auntie waiting, I do you. Listen to me, you are not gathering unto the Lord. All of you are getting involved in witchcraft, you don't realize it. You gather a program. What is the caption of the title? Auntie waiting, I do you. You see, this is African mysticism. They've created God in heaven. And they call it church. I've been warning you. Most of those guys who wear suits like me today, they are not pastors. They are not Christians. They carry the title pastor, all right, and prophet. They are not Christians. You know the thing about this suit? They didn't say, are you a pastor before it was sold to me? I don't know whether I get my point. This suit I'm wearing. It has nothing to do with my title as a pastor. It is, do you have money? Then they give you the jacket. So Babalawo too can go and buy. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You know, my friend, we knew when that joker started ministry, it was robe he used to wear. You know those people that, out of confusion of their soul, they wear all kinds of other red today, brown robe, white robe, and be, you know. Then one day somebody called and said, oh boy, this one they sell again. Now I go market, they sell real, genuine Amani. Paid the sorcery money to them. They gave it to him, the fellow suited up. Crammed a few Kenneth Hagin books and Kenneth Copeland books and came and started deceiving the whole world. What I'm trying to say in all of this is this, all right? It's not even that spiritual, that appears spiritual, that's Christianity, just because it's been spoken or preached by a man looking nicely dressed. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You have to be careful when you're analyzing things. You have to know when you're... You see, that's why I say, don't use... You know, there's a difference between incantation, that is like jazzic, you know what I mean by jazzic now? Babalawic incantation, and the confession of the word of God. Confession of the word of God is always of the word of God. I don't know what I heard I said. If I wake up in the morning and I start declaring, assuming I'm looking for a job and the name of the boss is Mr. Adiola Chuku, all right? They're not common in the way, they just combine something. I don't like it to be anything like Adiola Chuku, all right? So say, Mr. I wake up in the morning. Mr. Adiola Chuku, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. You will show me favor. That's witchcraft. That's not Christianity. You may as well wake up in the morning. I say, Angela, I claim you by faith. You will marry me. Angela, tomorrow I will speak to you. You will agree. Is that Christianity? You easily agree, it's not. Can you say easily agree, it's not? How come when you are doing it to Mr. Adiola Chuku is Christianity? We have to be careful. That's witchcraft. That is not Christianity. What is Christianity? I am favored everywhere I go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. When I go out tomorrow, I am blessed. Because you see, listen, he says something clearly. We do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. You have no problem with Adiola Chuku. You know why you cannot say that? Mention his name. Who told you that is the job God wants you to have? Do you know that door can close and a far better one opens 5 minutes later? A friend of mine described how the house he was living in, the landlord didn't like him because he was a preacher. You know, Christians, they pray too much, all those kind of things. The landlord said that they were leaving. So one day he and his wife, they prayed, they fasted, claimed, did everything. You know, this our spiritual gymnastics. By the time they were through, they felt confident. Traveled to go and meet the landlord. He was not living in the same town. When they got there, it was as if all they did was to curse the man, and the man saw it for the way he responded. Didn't let them into his house. He doesn't want to discuss it. A lot of them, they just go and pack, 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 and they should go. The man was dejected. After all this prayer. Except that when he got back home, he thought. So he decided to drive around. Let me make a long story short. Either that day or a few days later, he got a house far better than the one he was coming from. He just looked and said, "What is going on?" And decided to just drive. The difference between witchcraft and Christianity is Christianity, look, listen, the way we handle things. Either you are in, oh God, I don't want to digress too much. Let me summarize this one. Because there is a time in which a church or elders or by revelation, we step into the place of judgment. And I've been saying it, the major reason why we have not seen revival in a country like ours is that we have not added judgment to our prayer. We've come to church every Sunday to bless everybody. This week, Israel be well with you. Listen, that's half of the story. There's a second side we must always add to it. And if you do evil against your neighbor because of what you gain, let God punish you. You'll be amazed. Next day on the road, now salute policeman, go to salute you. Once he says your paper are correct. Because he also went to church. And they warned him. Now, there's a reason for that. But before that one, all right, the common one, everyday one that you and me must practice every day. You wake up in the morning, I don't have any business with my neighbor. Mentioning his name unless I want to bless him and pray for him. Everything I'm doing must be directed towards God. In which case, I simply, if I have to confess, I confess the word of God. I'm not manipulating anybody with my prayer. I am confessing the word of God. God will now manipulate anybody the way he wants. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, I'm approaching a place where people are very terrible. They are not nice to you people. Before I get there, I have no business with them. I just take the word of God. Like I mentioned earlier, favor is my portion. God will surround the righteous with favor as with a shield. And I declare that word. I'm righteous in Christ Jesus because of my faith. Therefore, I am surrounded round about with favor as with a shield. I am surrounded round about with favor as with a shield. That is the word of God. The angels hearken to the voice of his word. And when I'm looking at somebody in the face, I'm not looking at you, I'm looking at heaven. I am surrounded round about with favor as with a shield. Then God manipulates that person for me. But to directly handle human beings and try to puppeteer them, you understand, see? Turn yourself to a puppeteer. It's not Christianity. You know, I mentioned something to you earlier, all right? You know, today, when I was thinking about that witch of Endor and all of that, and now I won't speak specifically about the witch of Endor now so as not to derail me from my subject. But something struck me that when, this guy's name? Ahab was going to die. God spoke. You know, people have said that, does God cause problems? There is a devil. You know, you've heard it a lot. If you grew up in Word of Faith or you see here a lot. The hurricane is caused by devil. Have you heard that before? Yes. You haven't heard it? Many of you don't. Okay. It's not God. It's devil. If I let me not even go there. All right? But what I want to emphasize is this. When Ahab was going to be deceived, who commanded the deception? It was God. He said, who will entice Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead, that he might fall there, or might perish there, that he might die there? And once somebody said this, and that said it, then one spirit came up and said, I will go. How are you going to do it? I am going to go there and entice him. I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And God now said, go and do so. Succeed in doing so. It was a commandment. Without which Satan can never do anything on this earth without that commandment. I've discussed that before. Therefore, a spirit entered into the mouth of those who were known to be prophets and they were prophesying. You've heard me say it before, false visions are usually real to the man seeing them. I don't know what I heard I said. What did I say? False visions are usually real to the man seeing them. That is, those prophets, as they were prophesying for Ahab, all right? As we are prophesying for Ahab, they were under an influence. When the man shook his head like this, his spirit actually shook it for him. When he convulsed, he wasn't pretending. So when you see TB Joshua say that, he saw a vision. He wasn't lying. No, he wasn't lying. All those demonstration of I'm casting evil spirit, that one is a lie. What did I call those ones? Lie. Now, home video, they paid those jokers. In case you did not know, I just said this one, so not only to help you, so you can help other jokers on the street who are confused. Most of those prophets, they actually see, when they tell you that, I see blood, it is flowing, you know. They are seeing it. Before them, no, of course, you know, there are people who are charlatans and jokers who just are trying to deceive people. But some of those people who are really into the spiritual things, they actually see those things. I've told this story many times of Derek Prince, who had he was casting out the familiar spirit out of a young lady, and suddenly the evil spirit, they often do, it acted up and gave the woman a vision. And the woman turned to Derek Prince and said, I see you in a car, a red car that was wrecked around the tree, that the man had an accident. And Derek Prince dismissed it casually. It was not a prayer point. It was not, I reject it. It's not even being offered to me. Dismissed it casually, lived at least 40 years after that, or at least 30, this happened, I'm sure. And died in his late 80s, no accident. He dismissed it simply as, that is a plan of the devil, and I don't walk in his plans. That girl saw what she saw. She wasn't trying to deceive him, but it was a deceiving spirit. So when a prophet sees, that's what confused a lot of people. They think the prophet saw. Because the prophet saw now, we have to do something about it. Listen to me. I found something out. Anybody pursuing visions will see evil visions. If you go around, especially this day and age, when Christ has died for you, to be looking for who will see vision for me, they will see. And they are not lying, in quote, you know what I'm saying? The man, the human being, the woman, all right, who is, all right, channeling that spirit, let me put that expression, he's actually seeing what she's seeing, but it's still a lie. Why am I saying so? Because when those prophets were prophesying, Micaiah was looking at them, you know. God showed him what was really going on. That, listen, a spirit has left the presence of God, having obtained permission to come and confuse you. So these people are really prophesying by a supernatural power, but they are lying so you might be destroyed. Now, after I considered this, something struck me. I said, then what is the safety? It is not to prove whether a man really saw what he claims he saw. That is not safety. Because I've just established for you, many of them actually see it, unless they're just frank jokers. You understand my point? I realized that when Saul went to that medium, that sorcerer in Endor, you understand? You know what happened? The same thing happened. In heaven, they gathered and said, Saul has disobeyed God. Time to kill him. And they said, how shall we do it? He's on his way to go and visit a medium against the word of God again. So what shall we do? A spirit volunteered. I will go there and remove courage from him. It dawned on me, listen to this. When they are doing those mediumistic sessions, the man consulting doesn't see anything. I hope you know that. He doesn't see anything. Saul did not see Samuel. He asked the woman, what are you seeing? And the woman described somebody. And he said, yes, that is Samuel. The same woman gave him the words that the spirit was uttering, which made it very simple for a lying spirit to stay in her mouth also. Where am I going? What is the difference? That woman saw what she saw. That woman will swear to death that I saw Samuel. And she wouldn't have been lying. But the truth was, it was not Samuel. It was not Samuel. What simply happened was that the same thing that happened to Ahab was what happened to Saul. I'm going somewhere. So what is the defense? What is it that somebody needs so that he will not be a subject of evil and wrong visions? It is simple. Never seek God for visions. Seek him for the purpose of walking in righteousness, and you will never be deceived. That is, when you are seeking God, it is, how do I walk in righteousness? Very important, though. Your goal must be, how do I walk in righteousness? Not, what will they see for me? Because what happened to those people was that they set themselves away from God. Ahab so disobeyed God that he made the whole of Israel disobey God. Saul kept on disobeying God until God refused to answer him when he would inquire of the Lord by the legitimate methods. So he now left that and went to go and inquire of the Lord by false method. And because of time, that's not supposed to be my main message. Ezekiel chapter 14, which I quote all the time, verse 7. You will see that God said, anytime a man does that, I always set myself up against that person. Let me just read it because it's so important. So that people will stop all this one of, God revealed to me who I want to marry. Are you getting my point? Carry photographs to go and meet pastor. Pray over them. Choose one. You know what he said? Let's quickly read it together. I like reading it all the time. From verse 6, it said, Ezekiel chapter 14. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, repent and turn away from your idols and turn away from your abominations. Now listen to verse 7. For anyone of the house of Israel or the immigrants who stay in Israel, now follow this, who separates himself from me, number one, puts up his idols in his heart, number two, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from among my people so that you will know that I am the Lord. Now listen to this. God was saying simply, people should stop inquiring of visions, asking God, show me this, show me that, until they have removed some things from their lives. That is, what is the will of God? Like Lester Sumrall said to Corey Blake, read the Bible. Obey it as much as you can. How do I know I'm in the will of God for my life? Just be obeying what you have read in the scriptures. That's why I said to people, seek God concerning how to live righteously. And no prophet will be able to deceive you with a lying spirit. You know why? Because even when he thinks he's seen visions, and that vision, the vision is inspired by demons, that demon cannot deceive you except God gives him the permission. That's just a fact. So when God knows that the vision is going to be too terrible for you to handle, he said, lie, lie, you're not giving that boy. Other times, he wants to find out, I've taught you the word of God, do you still believe it? That after you have listened to Pastor Banky all these weeks and months, explain to you that you don't have a spiritual, an ancestral curse working in your life because you are a believer in Christ Jesus, that if you have problems, it must be due to something else. You will still get somewhere and somebody will pray, finish praying and say, I see, and he's seen. And he's seen. I'm seeing a woman live 500 years ago, placing a curse upon your great-great-grandfather. And that curse is still working in your family till today. And you believe it. You have walked against the covenant of God. You have done what the Bible calls in Old English, you have done despite to the blood of the cross. That what God is waiting for you to say is that, listen, O God prophet or prophetess, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. This one is in Christ. All things have passed away. Whatever curse that woman you have seen in that your vision was placed against over my great-great-grandfather, it was nailed to the cross. By the power of the blood of Jesus, it has been wiped away. God arranged for us to meet today so I can educate you so you can do better ministry. That's a matter of fact. Listen, Christians, you know, I've been saying something to you again and again here. No man, no woman goes to a prayer house and the problem does not increase. No Christian does that. And your wahala will not double. Listen to me. In Christianity, what we are allowed is to apply our hearts to the knowledge of God. The primary, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, the way people travel to go and be deceived, leave from here to Lagos to go and buy holy water. But tell them, you know, one day, a young man called. He sent a mail to the ministry and I forgot how it was, but somebody wanted to talk to me. That we should allow him call and I will take his call and we'll discuss. So I told Yinka simply, I don't know him. So since he's in Anambra State here, tell him simply that, how did he go again? Anyway, that was the message we sent to him. That call Yinka, arrange an appointment. Come to Enugu and I will gladly give you time and talk with you. And he said, okay, no problem. That he was hoping to talk to me in the heat of his crisis. And you are in Anambra State here. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You are in Anambra here. Oh, I don't know whether you are following me. Yes, you are in crisis. You not fear enter Peace Mass Transit. I don't know whether you get my point. I told him, I said, see why I don't talk to people. Obviously, it is not important. If it was important, I don't know whether you are following the point I'm making. The man tells me he's in crisis. He cannot from Anambra State here walk over here to talk to me if it was important to him. I'm going to take your call. That just by the way. All right? But I'm trying to make an issue. But you see people, when it is by anointing all the time, they will travel from here to Lagos. And that is why God allows them to be deceived. When it is by holy sand. That man used to do sand. You know what time they use now? It was sand before. He would kneel down on sand. That time he used to wear long rope after he has arrived from the mountain. No, I saw that one on TV. People will be diving the sand. How will you not, that's the point I'm making, how will you not be deceived? That's what I'm going to explain. It is if the true thing that your heart is going after, all right, is how to live a life of righteousness. Not how to get emergency miracles, not how to see visions, not when God is just a decision-making God for you, not a life-controlling God. It's only when there's crisis we remember him. When it says forgive your neighbor, you don't remember him. Are you getting my point? When it says walk in love, we don't remember him. When it says walk in righteousness, we don't remember him. When it says don't steal, we don't remember him. It's government money, it's not anybody's money, we don't remember. Are you getting my point? But it's now time to make a decision. Should I marry or not marry? Should I say yes or not? And that's how I pray. I'm going to now say fast, and that's what I'm making. God will actually send a prophet to you who will help you choose the Jezebel amongst the three. Ah, may God not deceive you. Because any man deceived by God is already deceived. That is. Oh, just send a few angels. Go, a few demons. Go and deceive him. And they will pray, they will fast. Ah, those guys are wicked. They will pray and fast. And then the evil spirits will appear to them, not as evil spirits, so wearing white, radiating like this, and say, go in this direction, invest that money, and you shall prosper. I said, thank you. And that man said, listen, I've been in the ministry for a long time. There's nobody I'll pray for like this. I did not make the kind of investment. That made the kind of money that did not succeed. Go and do as I have said. And that is the one that will ruin his life, his family, his children will drop out of school. And if he's a white man, finally, he will hang himself. Why? Because he was not set, his heart was not set on walking in righteousness. He's a God user. He's not trying to serve God. Many people go to church these days, they're not trying to serve him, they're trying to use him. We heard he makes people prosper. So we'll come to learn how to prosper. And that's why a lot of anointed jokers are there. And they preach, I've explained to you today, they preach under inspiration. They come and say, today, a word came to me that said, if you will sell all you have and bring it right here, by next week, your life will not be the same again. It's being anointed. God wants to wreck your life. He knows. I mean, between him and that prophet, they've all arranged it. That this boy must be poor from today. I said, should I obey? I don't know. You've gotten my point now. My point is that if that's the day you want to start obedience, forget, you're in trouble. Your heart must be panting after righteousness before you start looking for how to use one single offering to enter into breakthrough. How can you be a career thief and you want to give offering to God to multiply it? You wake up in the morning, you are looking for how to scheme everybody. You know, scam them of their money. The Bible said God despises the heart. Alright? God hates the heart that devises evil. You wake up in the morning deciding, devising how to steal from people. Why would God not let a criminal of a preacher come under an anointing to collect the money? Are you getting my point? Listen, a lot of these jokers are anointed. That's what I'm trying to point to you. An evil spirit departed from the presence of God to go and ruin the lives of people, having obtained permission from the Lord. Those who say to you that God does not do bad, they don't know him yet. God said, I, the Lord, he said something to Israel. He said, I'm devising a calamity against you. What, instead of going around arguing, does God kill? Does God not kill? Just be praying, Lord, please do not kill me, whether you kill or you don't kill. And like I said the other day, whether it's the devil that killed you or God, you are still dead. What's my message? I'm going to emphasize that what you are pursuing, all right, is walking in righteousness. No visions can deceive you. That's what I'm trying to make. If your heart is intent on obeying God, that this is my life, let me give it to Christ properly, then no joker of a prophet can see visions that will confuse you. If an anointed man, you know what I mean by, you know, my anointing now, that kind of joking anointing, you know, that kind of evil anointing that God sends upon some people. If he shows up in your presence and wants to start talking as if he's Elijah, God will shut your ears, you won't be able to hear him. You will look at him and be seeing horns on his head, he'll be looking like devil. And he won't know what you are seeing. Why? Because your heart is after righteousness. Please, I hope you're following what I'm trying to explain. I thought about it. I said, that's the only defense. If you are looking for miracles, Jesus said it like in the last days, that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. But like the world, if it were possible, that tells that God wouldn't allow it. Now, I said something last time, each day now, I'm trying to preach this walk in the Spirit, I just keep answering other questions. I said something to you last time, listen, God is not sending you to hellfire because of your makeup, because of your of your trousers, or your necklace. He never, read the scriptures, even when he found harlots, he said, I'm going to burn this one because she wore the attire of a harlot. You think bad dressing started today? It's in the Bible. The Bible labeled it the attire of a harlot. I'm inclined to think, the other day I was in my office, I gave somebody my computer to do something with. So I got there, one of my secretaries, one of the clerical staff in our office, I got to the general office. I saw them playing a DVD on my computer. And all the, of course, usually it's the women that gather. I don't know why women are like that. Gather, they are looking. A woman was there testifying how she died and went to hell. I said, yeah, remove that DVD from my computer now. Remove it now. As I'm watching you, remove it. She says, it's my computer. It's my own. Yeah, the laptop. I said, remove it now. Let me have it. They carried the DVD. My hand finally got hold of the DVD. I flung it across the room. Thank God it was inside the case. Hey, sir, it belongs to somebody. Then God, don't, if you put it back in my computer, we'll look. Me and you will have problems here. You go to hellfire. You didn't see adulterers there. Are you getting my point? You went to hellfire. You didn't see real witches there. It is those who wore earrings you saw. You are mad. You went to hellfire. All these armed robbers. You didn't see them there. You didn't say, when I got there, I saw some boys cocking gun. And God said, this is what they were doing on the earth. You didn't see that one. You got to hellfire. You saw the women that permed their hair. Something is wrong with your head. You might be gathering. All these people stealing money from people. You understand? They are worried about they said they saw my hair in hellfire. Your heart, they saw it in hellfire 5,000 years ago. You do not know. That wicked heart. look, let's face. Oh God, why don't you just read this Bible? You see, people who are jealous, envious, haters of their brothers and sisters, they're not in hellfire. It's only those who were dancing like Michael Jackson that went to hellfire. Why am I talking about that? People are being deceived because they don't want to learn the truth. That's what I'm talking about. That's why God has subjected them to deception. God says to them, go and deceive them. They don't want, you know what God said to Isaiah? He said, go and deaden the ears of these people. Say to them, hear but don't understand. See and don't perceive. And then when liars come, they will be following them. Say, one woman burnt her shop because she's a hairdresser. Because somebody went to hellfire. And saw that it was only, that all the women were in hellfire. And all the adulterous men were in heaven. Now, she didn't say it like that, too. You know, I'm the one that added it to it. When we got to heaven, we did not see women. Why? Most of them were perming their hair on the earth. But all the adulterous men, we saw them. Adultery is not a problem. Cheating people, selling genuine, fake things and calling it genuine is not a problem. But once you perm your hair, they're in hellfire. Tell them, Pastor Banky said, is a lie. He said, those guys, they didn't go to any hellfire. Two things happened. Some of them drank. They used LSD. You know what they call LSD? Oh, some of you don't know LSD. The most psychotropic of all chemical agents on this earth. Now, when you take one shot of LSD, you know, cocaine makes you feel good. Well, at least you've seen it. I know you have not used it before. All right? Some of you have smoked Indian hemp before, all right? You know the way Indian hemp does, cocaine is amplified. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, alcohol is nothing like that. Alcohol is, it depresses your brain. You start feeling tired and feeling happy, but slow, you are slow. But cocaine is different. Now, LSD doesn't do that to you. LSD makes you feel like God. LSD is described as we use the word for it in medicine. We say it's, give me the word now. Hallucinogenic. It's hallucinogenic. You start seeing things. So you start communing with spirits. You just feel like you're in hellfire. You start seeing women with perm hair in hellfire. Their trousers and necklaces in hellfire. You know, young boys. You know, one of the things that happened, that you just see a boy finish taking LSD. It only feel like Superman. He will climb to the top of a building and he actually thinks he's going to fly. No, I'm not joking. No. And he actually take off like this. Yeah, of course. and he flies into real hellfire. No, what I'm telling you is not a joke. It's not a joke. There are a number of them. Things like mescaline. There are drugs that God said you must not take. So you are safe in Jesus' name. That is, not that he's commanding you, he has spoken in the heavens that this is my son, this is my daughter. You must never come across these substances. So, a lot of those, you see all those rock stars, you think it's just. even demons can't do some of the things that drugs do to them. Even demons go draw back and say, oh boy, you're on your own. Now, why is all of that? So, you don't know the kind of beggary some people have eaten. They now sleep and wake up and be dreaming. And after they've dreamt, they now wake up and suddenly they went to hellfire. And they always see celebrities. They don't see obscure people. That the only celebrities go to hell. They have to be Michael Jackson, Sonny Abacha, you know. And they don't see long-time celebrity, only the current one, the one that just died. I got it. Michael Jackson was burning like this, And I saw the demons backsliding around him. It's a lie. What did I call it? Don't believe a word of all that nonsense. Is it because I don't believe in hellfire? Of course I do. I believe in heaven, more importantly. I don't really care about hellfire much. I believe in heaven. And I'm going there, amen? I'm not trying to make it. I've made it. Just I'm going when I live here. I've made it already. No, the making of it is an established matter. I have made it already. I mean, you can't find me in America now. And I tell you, I've made Nigeria. I'm just going to go back home. Is that not so? Why? I'm a citizen. That is the idea. And I'm telling you that if indeed you have believed, you are a citizen. Amen. You are a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
I say you are a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Everything I've said so far, this is a summary of it. Before I get back to where I took off from. The summary is that if you have a heart that's going towards God, that's seeking God for righteousness' sake, not trying to use him, then you are immune to all these deceptions. Not because you are smart in yourself, but because God is kind. Do you understand that? Yeah, because he's kind. And he knows the heart of those that truly love him. And he will do what he has to do to keep them secure. He will do what he has to do to make sure they are not deceived. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, back to where I actually began from. So we're talking about this walking in the spirit matter. That God doesn't expect us to know everything or to be able to do everything. What he just says that there are little things I've given you to do. You do them, and then I will take care of the rest. That's what grace is. One I've spoken about already when we're talking about the book that God gave the kings in Israel, a commandment that you will write a book and you will read the book. And I said to you, if you want to endure on your own throne in life, you must be reading a book. And there's no story about it. You cannot explain that one away. You must be reading a book. That is, apart from reading your Bible, there must be things that you read all the time. And let me get really practical again. For example, I read a book like I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin. It helps me. It helps me, all right? A book like Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits by Kenneth Hagin. It helps, you understand? When you read God's Generals, it helps. These are books you continue to read all the days of your life. They keep you in check. That's how God pours his spirit of stability into your soul when you keep reading a book. And that's number one thing when we talk about walking in the spirit. Now, what I wanted to get into today, let's get back there now. Let's just go back to the scriptures we used. Is that, okay, let me review one thing again for a moment. Don't forget, walking in the spirit said, he that sows to his own flesh will from there reap what? Corruption. But he that sows to the spirit will from there have the manifestation of eternal life. Now, so we said this is how it is. Everything we are doing in life, I talked about that last time, is a seed. It is a seed. Everything you are doing in life is a seed. Now, there's something I want to explain. When Paul was writing this, he was trying to emphasize to people how not to walk in the flesh. That is, how not to walk in sin, how not to walk in iniquity. All right? Because this life can be tough. Satan is on you all the time trying to tempt you. Jesus Christ was not tempted 3 times. If you think he was tempted only 3 times, you don't understand anything yet. He was not tempted 3 times. You only have the account of 1 temptation. All right? Before then, he was being tempted. After that, he was tempted. Many times people will come to him, let us make you king. That was still the manifestation of the temptation. When they will come to him, and even when Peter and Co. said, look, let's burn down the city, it was still a temptation. So he was tempted all the time. And I'm saying to you, Satan will tempt you all the time. But instead of focusing your attention, all right, every time on how do I overcome this temptation? How do I ensure I don't fall? God said, don't focus your attention on that. You will never win if you do that. What do? You walk in the spirit. Or you walk by the spirit. Meaning the same thing. I want to use the word by today, which is what New Americans that I use is, so as to emphasize a point. Now, when Paul was writing this, people were being educated on keeping the commandments of the law. How, you know, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, how not to do this. And the law has so many commandments that it was difficult for them to keep. In fact, the argument Paul had, all right, with those people was that, why are you trying to impose upon the Gentiles the things that your fathers could not keep? All right, that was the way it is. So, and you know, I said something the other time, that if you count the commandments, really, the commandments under the Old Testament, they had the limit. There were 300 something of them, both the commandments and ordinances and all of that. Okay? But in the New Testament, they have no limit. They do not have any limit. If you want to look at it, it's actually more difficult in Christianity because the commandments go to areas that you can't even think about normally. An average Muslim shouldn't think about those areas. An average unbeliever cannot even conceive what we're discussing in these kind of things. For example, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's good. That's simple. You know when you have committed adultery. Is that not so? But what about don't even look? My things are getting rough there. Are you getting my point? And you're walking around every day and they are putting it in your eyes. And they say, don't look. Okay, let's not forget the look. It should be that one now. You can just poke out your eyes and that's it. But you can close it. What about don't even think about it? Ah, oh, pardon. Now, this commandment is getting too tight. Okay, so, but that thought that came to my mind, was it Satan? Was it temptation or was it me? Have I sinned? And that's how people wake up every day. You know, I was talking to one sister the other day. Some of you know who I'm talking about. He used to go to a church where commandments were the thing. As I said, why did you run away? He said, those people tormented me. Now, she said that this was the problem. That before you sleep, you will lie down and be thinking of the sins you have committed. You didn't do anything, no. You just lie down. Why? Just in case you die in your sleep. So you don't go to hellfire. You know the reason? Because God can send you to hellfire for any bad thought that went through your mind. As a young woman, if one boy toasted you that day and you were tempted to agree, you know it's Christianity, not Judaism. The thought of agreeing is already a sin. So you will confess. God, though, when Jumbo was greeting me this morning, my heart was loving him. You confess. Then, okay, you have written about it. You don't even know which one you did not do or which one you did. So finally, you say, God, in case I forgot any other one, I hereby confess it. So God says, wait, that's not the confession. Confession is to admit you did something. And he said, God, right now I can't remember anything I've done. So let me just admit that I did everything. They asked one man, he came to hospital, was filling a form. It's a joke I read somewhere. He said, what are you? Your religion. He said, I'm an Anglican. Ah, so there was a priest there. No, he was sick. So they said, they let him get him a priest. So what are you? He said, I'm an Anglican. So they went and got an Anglican priest. The Anglican priest arrived. He said, when were you baptized an Anglican? He said, I can't remember. Who confirmed you an Anglican? He said, nobody. Ah. You did not go through confirmation? He said, no. So how come you're an Anglican? He said, one day I went to church. I was an Anglican church. And they were praying. They said, we have done what we are not supposed to do. And we have left undone what we are supposed to do. I said, that's the perfect picture of my life. I must be an Anglican too. That guy said, that's how he became. That's how he said, I must be an Anglican. Because, I mean, me to have left undone many things I was supposed to do. And that is how we begin to confess ourselves as Christians. A young woman told me that it was so bad that it was torment for her soul. And let me say something to you. Evil spirits like that. Because when it comes to legalism, you can never win. Just in case you are feeling condemned, let me quickly tell you something again. The Bible says, if God were to number iniquity, nobody will stand. Me, inclusive. Billy Graham, number one. Kenneth Hagin, a sinner. All of us. So you can be sure. Let me say this. A lot of people think I'm telling Christians to be lax in their life. I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. That is why God is not going to send you to hellfire for every little thing you did wrong. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Let me say it loud. Stop watching those videos. It's not for you. Unless you're not a true Christian. You know, I've said it before. The major problem is that people mix everybody together. They think everybody that comes to church is a Christian. Many of them are not. Some don't believe in God. Their wives drag them there. The man will tell the children, your mother said we should all go to church. So all of them will come to church. And the other way around too. So men say, this woman, you won't drag me to hellfire. Otherwise, and the woman knows the meaning of otherwise in that house. So go to church, join women's group, everything. Why? Because of the husband or because of the wife. None of these people I've described are true Christians. Some go to church because they were born into that church. That's the commonest unchristian Christian people around. Yes, they were born into the church. The owner of the house where I live, my landlord, current one, elderly man now, he said to me once, I've told the story, that his father was a bishop. That he did not know he was not a Christian until his daughter was in university, his own daughter, and came home one day to explain to him what it meant to give your life to Christ. He said, that was when I finally gave my life to Christ. I was a 50-something-year-old man. And he was an elder in the church. He was a senior person in the church, especially since he came from a very respected family. The man said it never crossed his mind that he wasn't a Christian. Until his daughter explained to him that they gave birth to you inside this place. Doesn't mean anything, no. And that's why people say to you that Christians can go to hell. They can, in that sense. But a man, a woman who consciously gives his life to Christ and does not turn his back on him, does not go to hell. He said, Pastor Banke, are you preaching eternal security? I don't know what eternal security means. I don't know what it means. What I know, that until you deny that Lord, he knows how to keep you. He knows those who are his own. That's what I'm preaching. He doesn't know those who come to church. Many people come to church. A lot of people believe that if I don't go to church, husband won't find me. So that good men only go to look for good wives in church. So they go. The other way around too. Some men say, you want a good girl? You go to church. And they will come to church regularly until they find. Sometimes this project is 2 years, 3 years. By that time, he has joined. And if he's going to a church where they promote people by performance, you know, activity, he's already a pastor. And people don't believe that. How can a man become parish pastor and he has not given his life to Christ? Hear it today. It happens. Like I said to you last time, if the disciples of Jesus were born again, let's assume, let's not even argue the theology. Let's not do any head splitting on whether it was possible to be born again before Christ died or not. Let's assume that they were Christians. Let us assume, all right? Judas was not one. Judas was anointed. When Jesus said, go and cast out demons, Judas used to cast out demons. Judas also will get there and say, peace be upon this home, and peace will come upon that home. Judas will lay his hand on the sick, they will get well. But Jesus said, did I not choose you 12? Yet one of you is a devil. Our fellow was a devil from the beginning, and he was a devil to the end. Many people are in ministry for what they can get. They are not Christians. Let me say to you again, those are the people going to hell. You are not going. Amen. What did I say? Say it again. You need to know that. You need to know that. God knows what he's doing. I don't know. All these funny videos flying around is always making me change my message now. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, so this is what I'm making. So instead of being afraid of going to hell, instead of being afraid of doing something wrong, instead of being afraid, like that young woman told me, she was so scared. It was torment. And it's in the Bible. The Bible says fear has torment. When a Christian walks around thinking about might go to hell, he's tormented. When he wants to be deceived, he's afraid. Or, you know, he knows it's a deception. He said, come, bring your money. Otherwise, he say, hey, if I don't give them, I may go to hell. He does, or she does, everything because he's afraid of hellfire. But Jesus said, Paul is saying to us, no, walk in the Spirit. Don't worry about the desires of the flesh. He said, if you are walking in the Spirit, those who preach the Galatians are trying to tell them, these are the commandments. These are the commandments. And the commandments, to remember them a lot is a problem. To remember them alone is a problem. So Paul said, neglect all of those activities, all of those efforts. Don't worry about it. Just walk by the Spirit. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? All right, number one, we already talked about that. Just focus on the Word of God. Let it be the central thing in your life. Let me talk about the Spirit side. All right, I want to talk about that. Let me see where I can get to before we stop. Quickly go again to the book of Psalms. Let's read that chapter 32. When you get to your office, let me teach you how to preach. Sorry, please, I'm digressing. Just remind me that I said we should open to what? We are going to get there, all right? But just remind me. Let me quickly say what I want to say. I know I'm digressing, but you know we have to keep preaching truth. Is that also? Yes. We have to keep telling the truth. We have to help the people of God because there's a lot of confusion out there. Now, before we read it, anywhere you see, in fact, this video to work for our advantage in Christianity, amen? In true Christianity, all these joker videos all over the place. We just need to teach people the truth. Tell people that God looks at the heart. It's man that looks on the outside. So man is not the one sending you to hellfire. It is God. Is that not so? Yes. Now sit the person down. Say, now let's examine your heart. Have you given your heart to Christ Jesus? Or you are going to church only for what you can get? You say, I don't know. It's simple to, we can arrange it so that you will be sure. Teach the person simply. What does it mean to give your life to Christ? It means to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. You don't have to number your iniquity. Your whole life is a sin if you have not given your life to Christ. You don't just say, okay, let me confess. No, don't need to confess. For being alive and not giving your life to Christ is a sin. Are you getting my point? So no need. Once you accept that, say, you know you can't save yourself. You can't. The person says, hey. And let me tell you something. Don't try to be smart. How do I say it? It's not necessary. Just tell the truth. You know why? The Holy Spirit is there doing his job. Say to the person simply, only Jesus can save you. He can change your evil heart to a good heart. He died so that your sins might be forgiven. Believe that, and you are a Christian. And believe me, you will never go to hell. So, you pray with the person. As the soul won. You know the truth, which I want to talk about briefly. Let's just look at this. He said, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Please, I want you to understand something here. I've been saying again and again, God does not just send people to hellfire because of one thing they did. God said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind. These are the things I check before I send anybody anywhere. I told you just now, I saw a lady who looked very, very holy, but was a witch, literal one. Was involved in occultism and was manipulating other people. That girl is going to hell very fast. I hope she doesn't die quickly after I saw her. As a matter of fact, God will send her into eternal damnation simply because she's a wicked soul. She has joined leagues. She has joined a league with evil spirits to manipulate innocent young people. She needs to be... Now, she was looking like a picture of holiness. If we're supposed to pick holiness from outside. That lady I told you earlier was telling me about torment and all of that. She said in her church where she used to go to, that the woman in charge of their children's church was the most wicked person she knew. A grandmother. Let's not go there. Some of these people, you see, wickedness. And what I'm preaching against that wickedness. Don't come and deceive me what you look like outside. Just by the way, this is what I say for Christians who want to know. Decency is our watchword. That's it. That's our watchword. Decency. I don't want to see you looking like you are Jezebel reincarnated. Are you getting my point? It's just decency. Some things, listen to me. Everybody knows what's decent. Let's not fool ourselves. We all know what's decent. How do I know? Go to a normal church on a Sunday. I don't know where I get my point. All the attires of harlots, they disappear. That means the girls there know what is decent. They do. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Most of the other things we do is pure tradition, varying from one community to another. Wherever you go, do you know? You know that in Islamic land, a man can't wear nikah. Yeah. Islam does not allow men to expose their knees. Yeah. That's why Islamic women always wear trousers. It's been standard with them. But to them, it's really decent. It's far more decent than skirts. You will not find a real Islamic man wearing nikah above his knee. Never. It's against their religion. Some of you are hearing that for the first time. A lot of other things we do is just... And listen, Christians should not be troublemakers. Are you getting my point? The first day my wife came to my house, no matter how nice and decent it is, don't wear trousers to that household. Nothing, just that make a good first impression with my mother. And there's a lot of other things are just what? Traditions, you know, culture. And we respect things that can be respected. You don't go around looking for trouble. Are you getting my point? Now, having said that, let's get back to what I'm trying to say. What God looks at is the spirit. What do I say the spirit? And when Paul said, walk by the spirit, you know that I'm emphasizing on the word by now, by. The word in Greek is en. You can use it as in or by. That's why New American Standard, which is one I use standardly, says walk by the spirit. What does it mean to walk by the spirit? Let's get back to this Psalm 32. David says, no, just look at me, don't worry, I'm just going to refer to it. He said, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are forgiven, who God is not imputing any transgression to. He said, in whose spirit there is no deceit. That tells you something. There is a spirit behind everything we are doing. There is. I found out the major thing on this earth right now is that truth is dead. Anytime Barack Obama is talking, I get angry. That guy does not know the meaning of the word truth. No. I'm not trying to be an Obama basher. He's just that he does not know what truth is. He only sees things for the popularity. A lot of people are shouting, gay marriage, allow gay marriage. You know their problem? They are afraid to go against what is popular. And the gay people have strategized themselves. CNN, all you need to do is watch CNN for a day or two. You see what I'm saying. CNN is in the forefront of this gay thing. They always bring up the matter. Even when it's irrelevant. I told you before, the day Obama took his oath, the second oath, the guy who read the poem, he read a nice poem, handsome looking man, they pointed out to us that he's gay. So that we see that gay people are normal people too. Nobody is saying gay people are not normal people. I just said they are normal people that have been infected by an abnormal demon. That's all. And the fact that you feel like it, which is what they're trying to say, hey, is how I feel. The madmen walking naked on the road, you think how they don't like how they are walking? They like it too. That's how they feel. I don't know where I found all of this. See, it's inside the man's body. Listen to me. If you were born blind, is it your fault? In quote. Will you now say you want to drive me to Onitsha? I will enter the car. Because we are born gay, doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it normal. There are many conditions. I'm a doctor. I'm a pathologist. There are many conditions on this earth. A huge chunk of diseases on this earth, people are born with them. You've heard of a hole in the heart. We call them congenital cardiac abnormalities. You can call it a hole in the heart. We say the person is born with it. Does it stop the doctor from correcting it when he can? And I say, oh, madam, this your son was born with his ventricular septal defect. We have to respect his right and rearrange the whole world to fit him because he was born with a ventricular septal defect. Listen to me. We don't say that. We carry him to a good hospital, get him a very good heart surgeon, open up his chest, bring out the heart. I'm serious. Doctors do that. Open it and patch the hole and close it back. You were born with it, does not make it no longer abnormal. Take this message to everybody. Don't let them fool you. I don't care whether anybody was born homosexual or not. It is an abnormality. As at the time I was in medical school, it was taught to us as a disorder of object. It was in the same class as those who have sex with animals. There were things that were called disorders. As at that time, 87, it was being taught still there's a disorder. In case you do not know, there's one man, his name just escaped me now, whose research publication ignited what they call the sexual revolution. Why? He did a study and found that a lot of people are adulterers. A lot of people like to have sex recklessly. So he says it must be normal. I said, why is this man a fool? He forgot that most Americans still steal till today. Why did you not say stealing is now normal? An average Nigerian is corrupt, you know that? Why did you not say, okay, corruption is our nature? Why are we still trying to correct it? Just by the way, one boy wrote a mail the other day to us that, he wants to know about this homosexuality. He went somewhere. I just said, look, God's word is clear. I didn't say anything. I said, the word of God is clear. I forwarded two scriptures. Leviticus chapter 18. He said, do not have sex with a man as you would with a woman. It is an abomination. That's the word the Bible used. New Living Tradition says it's a detestable thing.
In Romans chapter 1, he said it's a sign of godlessness that when men have rejected God, he gives them over to the depravity of their minds. An evil spirit now enters into the atmosphere. Go and read the Rejoiner's final quest. He said he releases an influence, one single demon. He pours something on many people. They start thinking crazily. In that recruit place like CNN and Co. and BBC. And listen to me. God is reserving most of Africa and Asia as a place for people to hide, where they can see the truth. As for these European countries, I don't have nothing to say. Anyway, let me get back to my main message. I know when I'm talking to somebody, I just get distracted by it. Don't mind these stupid things going on in this world. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, I'm going on something here. The major problem is the death of truth. I can beat my chest to say this. Obama does not believe one word of that nonsense he utters. He does not. He doesn't. One of the problems I found with people is this. When you are talking to them, I saw your dad in the office. I was very angry with people. There were no more women in my office. I was talking. Something led to, I don't want to give the details, but I was trying to bring the obvious truth out by saying 1 + 1 + 1 should be 3. And then nobody agreed it was 3. They'll keep on saying that. And sometimes, you know, 4 maybe, it may just be 4. I said, let's calculate it again. I'm trying to make it simple now with a long discussion. I say 1 + 1, that's 2, then 3. Then put another 1 to it. Is that not 3? Sir, you know, sometimes the 2 may not want to change. Let's go back again. After a while, something struck me. I said, that's the problem with people. They don't want to stick with truth. There were women, they had something to do with maternity leave and some laws and all of that, you know, in the office. And one was currently pregnant. The other one is nursing. And there were other 2 women there. And I was talking about one other one that's on maternity leave that's supposed to resume work about 2 weeks or 3 weeks after that. So I was just trying to explain some things that I would not accept in the office. And so I now said, okay, if you guys don't agree with me, this is at least the law. Do you know? I realized something. Because they realize they are saying, yes, that is true, means that they will be adversely affected. That to do when you come to work and when you close as a nursing mother. I just said, can you see human beings? The truth is obvious, but they will speak according to what they are going to gain. I don't want to go talking about what affairs now. The truth is this, if we agree to tell the truth, a lot of the problems on this earth, they will go away. But we don't face the truth. We don't tell ourselves the truth. We don't. I'm going somewhere. This is where I'm going. Everything you do in life, there is a reason why you are doing it. That thing is called the spirit of your action. Do you get my point? Paul says something. Because of time, I'm going to stop. Hopefully, I can pick it up next time. Paul said, walk in love. Now, you see something. If you go back to that Galatians chapter 5, you see a point he made there. I have to stop now because I just looked at my time. It's really, really, really gone. Let's just go back to that Galatians chapter 5. I'll read this time again from verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Now, notice that. For through love, it said, but through love, serve one another. In that same verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. And that scripture I wanted to read today, we'll get read them next time. Let me just stop with this, all right? Let me, because of time. You'll see that anytime Paul wants to pray for the people, he never prayed so that they'll be able to keep God's righteous laws and commandments. He always used to pray for 2 things, that God will give them the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. That's number 1. Number 2, that their love for one another will increase. Because anybody running after the knowledge of God, 1, and number 2, making sure that his spirit, in everything he does, the spirit is love. That fellow is walking, that is the long and short of it, in the spirit and by the spirit. 2 things I've said. You will see something. He said the fruit of the spirit is, did you notice that it's not are, is love, joy. That is, everything is together. Once, I remember many years ago, after the Lobotife came to our school, and he said something. He said, the spirit, the fruit of the spirit is love. He said, that's all. He said, joy, peace, long-suffering are other manifestations of love. That the spirit of this, the fruit of the spirit is love. That the spirit cannot be is and be many things. That the spirit, the fruit of the spirit is love. That joy is an expression of love. That long suffering is an expression of love. There's a point I want to bring out from there. If every seed bears fruit after its kind, and the fruit of the spirit is love, what would the seed of the spirit be? It has to be love. Love. For what? And that suddenly clinches it. The commandment, two things. Upon this hang all the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And that is his word. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is, if in your life, two things. You mind your spirit. Go and read this to our message. The gospel according to Ruth. One of them I called, take heed to your spirit. We took from Malachi there, when God was talking about how you have dealt treacherously with the wife of thy youth. I was listening to one Islamic guy on TV, they were debating on polygamy. And, you know, it was a talk show. And someone that came afterwards said, okay, you, there were many people. There were Christians, Islamic people, there was a talk show in Lagos on TV. And someone asked him, you, why did you marry a second wife? Now listen to this. Because, you know, he said, take heed to your spirit. In whose spirit there is no deceit. They said, why did you marry a second wife? He thought for a moment. Now let me tell you something. All this one of, should small girls marry? You know, the debate in Nigeria right now. Or not marry. All these things would not be a debate if we took heed to our spirits. If the men will for one moment think of the girl and stop thinking about their stupid libido, the whole thing will stop. Some of those men shouting, they are perverts. They can't sleep with anything that's more than 15. They are hiding behind religion. It's not religion. They are perverts. It's called pedophilia. They love to sleep with small girls. Because if religion says you can marry four wives, why don't you marry four adults? I have been married for over 13 years. I don't want a second wife. My wife looks more beautiful to me every day. And God knows I'm not lying to you. I'm not trying to preach. I look at when we married, I say, okay, what was I looking at when I married you that time? That now you're fine. I said on TV once, one woman saw me next day at work, said, what? I've never heard this before. It's a spirit. The men who don't feel like that, they refuse to feel like that. It's a spirit. It's just a decision I made. I told you once I was driving. It struck me that my wife was not there. I still remember I was in front of Kia, between Kia and where they are constructing road there. I was in my car. I said, come, my wife's so normal to me these days. I said, I lie. While driving, I prayed. I said, no. The Bible says, be exhilarated with her love at all times. A decision. Men lie. They lie. You're arguing. No, my religion says that a 13-year-old girl can marry. Abike Dabri, I was reading her. Abike Dabri said, I was a reporter with NTA, and I covered the health segment. He said, I saw small girls, how pregnancy ruined their lives. That their pelvis cannot carry the pregnancies. That their lives are ruined by VVF. He said, I'm a Muslim too. Let them not lie to me. Islam did not say we should marry small girls. I'm not an issue. The problem with people, with those men, is that they are only thinking of their pleasure. If you think of that girl for a moment, we won't be debating this. Think of her for a moment. For one moment, at the age of 13, sleeping with a man who's 50. The man is impregnating her. At the age of 13, she has to carry a pregnancy. She's hardly developed herself. Think of her for a moment. And no religion will tell you marry her. Because no religion commanded it. Even if it is allowed, is it expedient? And we know from Christianity that Jesus said even the things that was allowed under Judaism was because of the wickedness of the heart of the people they were preaching to. Let's tell ourselves the truth. The problem in this life is that oftentimes people don't tell the truth. Walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? Whatever I'm doing, I ask myself a simple question. How is it benefiting my neighbor? Then, you know what he says? No law will be necessary. Let me stop. I hope you're blessed today. Just bow down your hand, just say, Father, I thank you.